joining us right now is somebody who's got a definite point of view. He's right there. He knows. He's a senior NBA writer for The Athletic, host of the Tampering Podcast. Last time I chatted him up, he was poolside. So now that we're into the finals, I'm not sure if he's still there. Let's find out. Sam Amick is my guest. Sam, are you kicking it poolside?
Romy, what's up, my guy? I'm not poolside today. We're getting the job done. Practice is coming up quickly, so I'm about to jump on a little shuttle bus here in a few minutes and go check in with the Heat first, see how they're feeling, and then Lakers after that.
We're talking about practice, Sam? Practice? All right, so really quickly, you talked about the Heat and how they might be feeling. They jumped out to a 13-point lead in the first quarter. At that point, what kind of thoughts were you having last night?
So it's funny, I was a little bit guilty of, you know, you're watching the game and you can't ever not watch the game with the seats as good as they are here for the media. So I'm about 10 feet away from the court, I'm across from the Heat bench. And, you know, you certainly get your attention, but I was kind of just getting into the game and you look up and it's like, my gosh, it's 25-12 and they're on their way. I even tweeted something about just, you know, the early hot start and then it just fell apart. So it's funny, I got a text from my good friend and Lakers beat writer, Bill Oram, during that time. And Bill was just like, you know, that's the first time he had thought about how maybe the Lakers could lose. Who knows, you know? And it was a hell of a start for Miami, but obviously didn't last for long.
No, it did not. Sam Amick joining us. So they come out of that timeout after they fell behind by 13, and then that thing flipped. Obviously, the injuries to Miami were a big part of this. But what about, Sam, L.A.'s size? How much is L.A.'s size bothering Miami?
I think it's a major, major problem for the Heat. And also it's the size combined with we might have been, you know, kind of sleeping on the experience factor. Because if you look at an AD, you know, a guy, okay, he's never been to the finals, but he's significantly older than Bam Adebayo and has more playoff experience. You know, certainly that's the case for Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee. And the size combined with the experience against the Heat, I think, is a problem. And Bam was having a hard time, got in foul trouble. Obviously, injuries like crazy, but the bodies the Lakers can throw at the Heat, not only with, you know, Bam on the bigs, but it's with Jimmy Butler and the wing perimeter defenders that the Lakers have too. And whether it's LeBron deciding he's going to jump on Jimmy, which did happen, you know, or a Danny Green or a KCP, you know, they have options. And obviously, in game one, it was incredibly one-sided.
We're talking to Sam Amick. Now, if Goran Dragic has got that plantar tear and Bam's got a shoulder strain and Jimmy Butler's got that sprained ankle, did that series officially end before the first game ended?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's how it felt last night. And we'll see. You know what I mean? Like, these playoffs have had all sorts of moments where you thought you had a series pegged and it went the other way. But, I mean, you know, yeah, I went in, I think I predicted Lakers in seven. I was giving the Heat all kinds of love. And I know what got my attention a little bit is the analytics community loved the Heat. And, you know, and I always try to pay attention to that a little bit. So, but it just looked like, I don't know how the Heat solved this. It looked like, you know, two teams on very different levels. And then the injuries, you know, Jimmy's fantastic. He's had an incredible run leading this team to this final stage. But, you know, he's I don't even know if even LeBron himself, if he was on the other team, could pull off this kind of a thing with your guys down like the Heat guys might be. Now, it sounds like Goran is feeling a little bit better today, and maybe he can get back in this series. You know, that would be big, because without him, I mean, that's their leading scorer and a guy who's incredibly important.
Sam Amick, senior NBA writer for The Athletic, is joining us. Sam, you had Jeannie Buss on the Tampering Podcast earlier this week. I want to get into some of the details, but overall, the last year and a half has been an absolute roller coaster. What did she make of everything that has happened in the past 18 months?
I mean, it's tough to even describe what she made of it all because, you know, as you know, Jim, so much of it was, like I wrote, it was joy, sadness, everything in between. She still, if I'm being honest, is somebody who's known her for quite a while now. You can tell that she's still hurting, still processing, still grieving when it comes to Kobe, when it comes to her mother passing away, David Stern passing away. You know, then you have the other stressful situations, the China, Hong Kong situation in last October, where the Lakers obviously were playing those preseason games. We're in the middle of that kind of geopolitical storm. You've got the work stoppage because of the virus and this team with a guy in LeBron, you know, at the tail end of his career, with a lot on the line basketball-wise and then trying to get this thing over the finish line. But, I mean, she seemed like she was in a pretty good place. Certainly she was enjoying, you know, her beloved franchise getting back here for the first time in a decade. And, you know, it seems like they've figured a lot of things out. They've had issues galore the last couple of years. We talked at length, as you know, about their front office dysfunction and how some of that appears to have been improved. You know, the backstory and history with her brother, Jim Buss, and that tough decision to part ways with him, bring in Magic. The Magic thing falls apart. I mean, the twists and turns in the past 18 months, going back to April 2019, it's just wild to me that they found a way to get from there to here.
We're talking to Sam Mamick. I was going to ask you about that, Sam, but you just touched on that. It's amazing, right? When you go back to last April and all the things that happened to that franchise and the fact that they were able to turn it all around and they're right here really is amazing. I would say to you, how could they do that? Part of that, of course, is a healthy LeBron. Danny Green had this great comment, quote, "This guy's the greatest player in the GD world," end of quote. Like, how would you describe where LeBron is right now with his game, with his life, really his entire journey?
No, he's in a fantastic place. And what's counterintuitive about this playoff run for him is he's had some magical nights, but, you know, the consistency has not always been there. And for him, the bar is so high that he still puts together an incredible line. But, man, in game five against Denver, he reminded us of who he is as a player, and he was just dominant. And the Nuggets just had nothing when it comes to countering that kind of force and that kind of competition. As a person, he seems to be in a very good place. He's, you know, in this bubble environment where mental health has been a topic, has been an issue, it seems, you know, only he truly knows, but it seems like he's really kind of sailed through it. His wife, Savannah, came out for a while, but, you know, he's dealing with his own kind of being apart from the kids and being focused on the game, but it seems like he just locked in and decided, I think because he knows what's at stake and he knows these opportunities, you know, are to be cherished, that was what he needed to do. And the job's not done yet, but he's done it. And not only for himself, but, I mean, his leadership on this Lakers team has been impressive. You know, the way that he moves with Anthony Davis, the relationship that they have built that is very different from a Kyrie Irving relationship, even different from a D-Wade dynamic, you know, his brother that obviously he's incredibly close with. This AD thing is a big brother, little brother thing that has been at the center of their success.
So, Sam, if he finishes this, what would another NBA championship mean to LeBron, and what would it mean in the overall picture of his career?
I think it's significant. You know, we thought once he won in Cleveland that it was kind of that mic drop of there's nothing else he needed to do. Now, sure, if you want to get into the greatest of all time debate, you want to talk about Michael, you can keep talking about the nuance of that short list conversation. But this one, if you talk about winning a championship with a third franchise, but more importantly, and you've been West Coast based for so long, you know this better than anybody, like the narrative for his whole career was that he was skating by in the East. And, you know, oh, if he came West, he'd get smacked around a little bit. And, I mean, it took him 2 years, you know, one bad year, and then here he is at the top of the Western Conference and, you know, looking like he's going to be able to get another trophy, another ring. I think it would be big. You know, four obviously is a significant number when it comes to championships, but, you know, the 10 finals thing that gets him into extremely rarefied air in terms of players who have been to 10 finals, he just continues to elevate that resume.
Sam Mamick, my guest. Really quickly, Sam, before you jump on that bus, because you brought it up, like, where do you come out on that greatest of all time debate?
You know, honestly, Romy, like, I don't know if it's a product of being a kid of the 80s. I have a hard time cutting through, you know, the Michael dominance and the perfection of Michael's championship resume. It's, you know, and that it's not as simple as 6-0, because for one, again, I just mentioned LeBron getting there 10 times. That is definitely worth something. But, you know, I think it's a Michael, LeBron, you know, discussion. I think that it's something that we're going to keep talking about. But I don't know. You can never win in that chat. And he's in the conversation, and it's a legitimate thing. A couple of years ago, it felt like it was forced. It felt like, you know, TV producers were trying to create content by kind of inserting him into the conversation. But, you know, he's very much in it.
Well said. Sam Mamick, senior NBA writer for The Athletic, also the host of the Tampering Podcast, on his way to cover the Heat. Sam, appreciate you. Great to have you back. Thanks so much.
You got it, Romy. Thanks, man. Be good.
Have a great day. Be good. I posed the question to Mark Madsen, the Mad Dog, and the reason, like, I posed it to Sam because I care what Sam thinks, and I posed it to the Mad Dog because not only do I care what he thinks, Mark Madsen played with Kobe, coached Kobe, played with Shaq, played against Mike, coached LeBron. The Mad Dog's in the middle of this whole thing. So I put the question to him on our podcast, and I thought his reaction was really interesting.